It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We hear from lawmakers on both sides of the aisle to learn about legislation that could prevent and end homelessness. And you can be part of the discussion at any point. Call in with a question. Share thoughts. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Republican State Senator Chris Kapinga of Delafield represents a district to the west of Milwaukee, includes parts of Waukesha, and is Senate President. State Senator Kapinga, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Oh, it's good to be back. Thanks, Kate.
So earlier today, we spoke with Democratic Governor Tony Evers and Democratic State Representative Jimmy Anderson, sharing their views on how to address housing insecurity. As a leader of Republicans in the state Senate, what are your priorities to address this issue?
I think one of the big things, as you hear people talk on the subject, that continues to come up is just affordability. And I think everyone, you know, if you look at both sides of the aisle, we all have the same goal, and that is how do we get it so that housing can be affordable for people? And clearly you've got different ideas on how do we fix that problem. So one of the things that I look at is housing affordability, if you look over history, is the easy answer is to say, hey, government needs to step up and inject resources into the system so that we can help make it affordable. And on the surface, that does make sense because you're like, well, that's easy. That way it can be affordable for people who can't afford it right now. The problem and the reality of that system is, and this is just as you look at the facts over the course of history, and especially recently as government gets more and more involved, is it's actually not helping the problem. It's actually part of the root cause of why we continue to see housing become so expensive, because as you inject this fake money into the system, it's fake demand, and it just continues to artificially inflate the cost of housing for everybody. And what we have to do is we have to allow the market to cool off a little bit. And as long as the government's injecting taxpayer dollars into the system, it's hurting everybody. So I think that's where you see a difference of opinion is we're not going to fix this problem by government stepping in and trying to do that. The second part of that, and kind of relates to probably part of our next discussion, is how do people afford to live? And that is, they afford to live when they're employed. Everybody has a purpose. Everybody has skill sets. I've talked about this a lot on your show, where God creates everyone with the skill sets, and those can be used to earn a living. And that's a long-term solution to a lot of our problems right now, whether it's affording your housing, affording food. And if people are working, it fixes the problem. It doesn't just continue the problem on. So that's part of the discussion as we talk through what principles and policies do we want to implement to actually help this problem get behind us instead of prolong the problem.
So in this cooling off approach that you suggest, what do policies look like? What would you put forth? I mean, we did see lawmakers approve $525 million for affordable housing initiatives, but what does cooling off look like to you?
Yeah, what it looks like is it looks like allowing, instead of the government continuing to inject money in and also force on local municipalities. This is another little thing that continues to come up from a lot of the local municipalities, is we allow them to determine what they want in their local areas for housing. And we try to, you know, in government, we try to keep the power as local as possible. That's kind of a side note on that. But again, back to how do we allow things to cool off, and that is to stop injecting fake government money into the system so that prices do start coming down. And again, in order to do that, people, if they're working, they can afford their own housing because they're paying through their wages. That's how we're going to help get past this problem. Because think about it, by continuing to just inject money in to the system, what we're doing is we just continue to carry the pain forward and forward and forward, and we're not actually fixing it. So there has to be some term limits on anything that's in place, We've got to term that stuff out, and in that time period, we've got to help people engage in work so that they're earning a living that will help them to be able to pay for it on their own.
As we talk about earning a living, we talked with a leader of a community service agency in northwestern Wisconsin and said that unsheltered people are working in Minnesota rather than Wisconsin because the minimum wage is higher across the border. Do you support raising Wisconsin's minimum wage in order to ensure that you don't run the risk of housing insecurity?
No, that's actually it's actually a false argument, because if you go out, I'm a business owner, and we look at wages, and it doesn't matter if it's Quick Trip, if it's McDonald's. I haven't seen a minimum wage job, a job paying minimum wage in probably 2 years. It doesn't exist. And I continue to search for it. I ask people, hey, what kind of wage are you looking at? You know, again, whether it's McDonald's or Quick Trip. We've got people, entry-level college kids, who we come in and do internships at my business, and you know, we offered $15 an hour, and they tell me I can go to Quick Trip and work part-time for $17 an hour. So the reality is, the minimum wage, there's not a job out there that's paying that low right now. So that really isn't reality, and I think we have to face that reality. We can raise the minimum wage, quote unquote, but it's not an issue right now, because people can go out and get jobs that are, you know, making starting out at $30,000 a year.
But if the economy would sour, if the economy would sour and you can't rely on those competitive market pressures to get workers in the door, then what would happen? I mean, then what is the role of a minimum wage in Wisconsin?
Yeah, but that's not the reality. Again, now you're going into the what-if scenarios. And right now we look at what is the reality in front of us. And the reality in front of us is there's still stable market demand out there, and we see no significant drops in wages that are out there. So that's not the case that's happening. So I want to make sure we always don't – in government, a lot of times if we get down the rabbit hole of what-if, we actually hurt ourselves – with the reality of what's in place right now. So we deal with what is in front of us right now.
We're talking with Republican State Senator, Senate President Chris Kapinga on homelessness. Let's turn to Sherry in Salem. Sherry, hi, go ahead very quickly.
Hi there. We have a renter who is a disabled veteran and raising a child, and we really want to work with him. We started with a subsidized rent where the state helps pay his rent, and he was supposed to pay a share of it, and he never does. It's been a couple years that my dad has been trying to work with him, paying the utilities. And my dad has been paying the utilities. The guy is constantly getting cleanup notices. And we haven't started the eviction process because we don't want this disabled veteran on his own. But how do you work with renters who aren't able to meet the rent, and it's not excessively high?
Sherry, thank you. State Senator Kapinga, in our final moments, what would you suggest?
Sure. Well, the VA actually handles that. That's more of a federal program that deals with it, but I'm very familiar with the rent issue, and that is they are getting the subsidies in place to help them, and part of the problem we have is that those are not always getting passed down to the landlord, and a lot of people look down negatively on landlords. But remember, as Sherry says, you know, her dad, he has to be paying the mortgage so that the bank doesn't come in and shut down the rental property that the vet is in. And it sounds like her dad is a patriot and is like, I want to make sure this thing works, which is great. But those programs are in place and the money is flowing through. We just have to make sure that money flows through to the landlord.
And thank you so much for joining us, Republican State Senator Chris Kapinga of Delafield. And you can explore all of our recent conversations on homelessness. Connect with us, WPR.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.